how much does the deficit really matter? Maybe not as much as you think, according to economist Stephanie Kelton. She's a professor of public policy and economics at Stony Brook University and former chief economist for the Senate Budget Committee Democratic staff. Professor, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And leaving aside what's in the budget proposal, which you may have some issues with, from a deficit perspective, do you care that it adds hundreds of billions of dollars to the federal debt?
No, I don't care that it adds to the federal debt. What I care about is whether the addition to the deficit is the kind of thing that you would do in order to promote an economic agenda that includes, you know, delivering a more balanced and sustainable economy. I care whether the deficit is pushing an economy that's already too close to full employment, that there might be some inflationary problems that may arise, but adding to the national debt would not be my concern.
Why not? Why is that not a concern for you, given the fact that we're talking about, what, close to $20 trillion in debt at this point for the United States?
When I look at the national debt, I say the debt is really nothing more than the dollars the government spent into the economy and didn't tax back over the nation's history. Somehow we've managed to convince the population, and when I say we, I mostly mean politicians and pundits talking about the national debt, we've managed to convince the ordinary American that the federal debt somehow belongs to them in a way that puts them in debt. So you hear people say things like, your share of the national debt, you know, every man, woman, and child owes $60,000 in debt. This is really silly because the federal government's debt is not our obligation. It's not our liability. In fact, the federal government's debt is nothing more than the U.S. Treasury bonds that lots of people hold in their portfolios, and they consider them not their liabilities, but their assets. And so these are really important investment vehicles. They're assets to the people who hold those bonds. And like I said, they're nothing more than the dollars the government spent into the economy and didn't tax back out.
So why not just have $100 trillion in debt then?
Well, you know, maybe one day, hundreds of years from now, we will. And if you look at a country like Japan, they're closing in on, are you ready for this, a quadrillion in debt. So the numbers sound very big, and big numbers can sound scary to people. 20 trillion sounds like a lot. I would say, remember, the national debt is the asset to the people who hold it. If the government spends 100 into the economy and it only taxes 90 back out, it's run a deficit. Now, under current law, the government requires itself to do this thing called borrowing whenever it deficit spends, which just means that it allows somebody in the economy who's sitting there holding $10 that the government spent in through its deficit spending, it allows that person to swap that $10 out for a U.S. Treasury, which is kind of a nice deal for the person who gets to make that trade because they end up with an interest-bearing asset instead of just that cash dollar that they're holding that doesn't pay them any interest. So I think we get really worked up and scared, and we think of the government's debt as somehow akin to household debt, and it's really nothing like that.
And what about the lenders? A lot of our debt is owned by China. Are you worried that one day they'll want us to pay up?
No, because they're not callable bonds. So China doesn't just get to say, pay us back. And the real question is, why does China have all those bonds in the first place? Well, mostly it's because China manufactures things and sells them to the United States, and we do less of that to China. So in other words, we run a big trade deficit with China, and that means that China ends up holding lots of dollars. And what those dollars are to China is just think of it as a checking account at the Federal Reserve Bank. So China gets a bank statement from the Fed, and we get, you know, boatloads of stuff coming in from China. Now, what China does is say, we don't want to hold our money. We don't want to hold our dollars in this checking account at the Fed. We'd prefer to hold it in a savings account. That's a securities account. All they do is swap their checking account into U.S. Treasuries. And we call that borrowing from China. But to the extent that China wants to continue to accumulate dollars because it wants to export their goods to us, they're going to end up holding more treasuries. The only way to really unwind that is for China to one day decide that they actually don't want to manufacture things for the U.S.
What do you make of the polling on this? A Pew Research poll this year found just under half of Americans said the budget deficit should be a top priority for the president and Congress, which is down from nearly two-thirds in 2014. Why do you think the public opinion appears to be shifting on this?
I think that it's good news, and I think public opinion is shifting because public opinion is so shaped by what we hear our leaders in Washington, policymakers, pundits talking about. And as the rhetoric dialed down on deficit hysteria, the national debt, it's reflected in the polls. People hear less concern from Washington about deficits, and it's reflected in the way people feel. They say, yeah, you know what? We should put a higher priority on job creation and growth and prosperity.
That's Stephanie Kelton, who's a professor of public policy and economics at Stony Brook University. Professor, thank you.
Thanks for having me.